feels like I haven't seen you for years. Like looking out of all the people, and you're all brand new for me, just about. And it's good to be here, really is. And enjoy what God's doing. Please don't get too serious on me. I think we'll get to the serious part a little bit later on in the morning, but right now you can turn to your neighbor and breathe and say, it's going to be all right. I think. I hope. I have been excited about what God's doing, and I'll share a little bit prophetically what I believe He's doing in the earth, and stuff that we can look forward to, stuff that we can get excited about. But I guess share a little bit about Mercy Mandate, a little bit about what I'm doing, spending lots of time trying to figure out what God's doing in Africa. God has really blessed the work that we've done there. You know that I've been involved with starting water factories in Zimbabwe, and we have successfully set up two water factories that are up and running that are manufacturing little water filters that you give to people. They put in their homes, and they get clean water, up to about 80 liters of clean water a day per family. So it really is amazing. The project's going on very well. The thing that God told me before we started this whole thing, before I went into this venture, is that, Darren, you're going to do something, and the whole idea of it is you're going to set up this project that you can step back, you can walk away from it, and nobody will ever know that you were involved with it. Nobody will ever know that you actually were in the formation of the thing. And so I took that to heart when I went to Zimbabwe, and let me back up a little bit. I have my two oldest kids here, so let's have them stand up. I have four kids, amazing kids, and an amazing wife. This is Braden and Kirsten. So, thank you. Those of you who saw them last, probably they were about this big. I mean, they came when they were 5 and 3 or something like that. And that's how long we've been here. It's amazing. So anyway, it's a privilege to have them here. It really is. I love what God is doing with our kids, with all of us. So went to Zimbabwe, and God had told me this: Darren, you're going to set things up that you're not going to be involved with in the end. You're going to be able to move out, and nobody will know that you were involved. And so that's all well and good when God speaks to you before you've done the thing. It's true, isn't it? Sounds like a plan, God. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. So He makes a plan. He does it. He makes it happen. And I'm standing back watching in awe and wonder at all that He's doing. And then there comes a time in September, October last year that He says, okay, it's enough. It's no longer yours. And I'm like, excuse me? This is my identity now. This has become everything. This has become my passion. This is what you called me to. And He reminds me, He says, Darren, do you not remember that I said you're going to walk away from it and nobody will ever know that you were involved? It's like, yeah, God, but I don't want that right now. And then goes through the heart battle of you know, all this stuff. Humanity kicks in. My identity. What are people going to say? They think I've failed. I'm no longer involved. And as I moved away, and as God took me through a season, and I discover I'm still going through the season, the heart journey of life is a journey that doesn't have a moment of experience and then we're changed and we're perfect. Those moments are 24/7. Carol, what you're going through with this little beeper is an absolutely prophetic picture and sign of an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit that affects absolutely every one of us, every iota of our bodies, every moment of our lives, 24/7. That's what we're working towards. That's what we're going towards. And God is shaping things. He's moving things, and He'll do things in our lives because He wants to get to the inner stuff. He wants to get to the heart where all the issues of life are held. They're all buried. They're all, you know, we've dug them so deeply in there. Christine was just saying that now. We've dug them so deeply in there because of the experiences that we've had. And God says, I want to get into those places. I want to clean you out. I want to heal you. And I don't want to do it on Sunday morning. I don't want to do it between 6:30 and 7:30 in the morning when you have your quiet time. I want to do it every moment that you're awake. I want to do it every moment that you're asleep. I want to come in your dreams. I want to come and minister to you. I want to speak to you. I want to be intimate with you 24/7. And so that's where we're going. And I've discovered it's a hard journey because now I've had my identity taken away from me again. I'm like, God, what are you doing? And he hasn't told me what he's doing. That's the hard thing, isn't it? He hasn't told me what he's doing, but I said to Daph the other night, I said, Daph, I'm really struggling. I need some inner healing. I need to go through this place of, okay, I don't understand. I don't know what's going on. And I'm in a good place, but I said, Daph, I need to go for inner healing. I need to go, and I need God to dig in the garden. I need him to go down into those roots that are stuck in there that I don't even know about. That, yeah, he's bringing back to my mind and to my memory. I'm talking about this because I want to encourage you on the journey that you're going on. This is such an amazing journey, and it almost feels like everything around me has fallen apart. I'm no longer employed by Catch the Fire Ministries, and that was my decision, so I'm just saying the way things are, okay? I'm here to encourage you this morning. I'm not here to preach a message that'll say, wow, my goodness, look at that message. Look at that, you know, we've got to come back next Sunday. No, I'm here to encourage you that as you walk your journey this week, your life will be changed with the Holy Spirit. Because this is what he's doing. And so my identity gets torn away, and my involvement in these water projects now, I still run Mercy Mandate, which is my ministry. Running what, I don't know right now, but it's my ministry. God's doing amazing stuff, and he keeps doing amazing stuff. But I've been torn away from the water factories, and they're up and running. They're on their own. They're multiplying in the production. They're going from 64 filters a month to almost 100 filters a month now. And they're doing it without me. But my identity is shattered. But isn't that the way it's meant to be? God, why am I struggling with it? Why am I struggling with it? Why am I in this place? And as I was saying this to Daph, I said, Daph, I'm really struggling, but I've never been in a better place with Daddy God. And that's what it's all about. Because he's shaping the world. He's doing things in the earth today that if we allow him to do those things in our hearts and with patience and perseverance walk through those moments that we think are destructive, he will use those things to multiply his glory in the earth. But we have to allow him to walk us through that time. And I don't know what's on the other side, but he's been beginning to paint a picture for me now. I'm getting so excited about it. Is it easy? No. It's a difficult process. It's a difficult place in our lives at the moment. But we've never seen the righteous forsaken. Never. And I want to encourage you, whatever you're going through, I believe we're in a place in history, in a time in history, and I want to show you this quickly. Turning the world upside down. God is turning, I'm speaking prophetically right now, God is turning the world upside down, and don't expect to understand what he's doing. Don't let your mind and your analytical process as you see things happen, don't let it try and get in the way of preventing your heart from believing, your spirit man from believing that this is a God thing. Because you don't understand it, it doesn't mean it's not God. God says, I'm going to do things, I'm going to show you things that you have not even entered your mind, that you do not understand, you cannot perceive, you cannot conceive those things. So God's going to do these things, and he's turning the world upside down. So where did it all start? It started at creation. And we'll get to honor. I better hurry. We'll get to honor. But honor, this very thing about honor is part of what this journey is, part of what God is doing. Okay. It started at creation. And the next major point in this journey of creation is after 4,000 years, we had the event of the cross, the person of Jesus Christ. Now, I've always questioned, and I said, Holy Spirit, where on earth are we? How is this all working? Where are we in history? When is Jesus coming back? What is it going to look like? And we can read the New Testament, and we can read the stories, and we can try and comprehend it analytically, but our spirit man still is a longing and a desperation. And I bless you this morning. I bless your spirit man. I bless as you have these questions deep down inside. Don't push them aside. Jesus says, you have not because you ask not. Ask the Holy Spirit. The place where you have the questions, say, God, give me revelations.
Give me understanding. Give me some answers. And he will give you some answers. And so the next point is the point of the cross. Now, very often what we think is, where are we now? We're at the next place, but we've had the cross. We had 4,000 years since creation and the cross. Where are we now? It's been 2,000 years. Anybody thought like this before? How long is it going to be? Is it going to be another 4,000, another 2,000 years? Is it going to be? Because there was 4,000 and I don't know, the questions. So the Holy Spirit really spoke to me one day, and I need a volunteer. Two volunteers, quickly. One to hold the world in his hands. Come, Braden. Yep. And you can grab the cross down there. Okay, Braden, that side. And you're that side with the cross, please. That side. Oh, you got to look like what we've got on the screen. Alrighty, so everybody, what's this? Are you sure? Are you convinced that this is what the world looks like? This is the moment of creation. Now, I'm not asking your head to understand this, okay? What I'm asking you to just go, duh, okay. Now, your spirit man, just feel, see what God is doing right now. And this is the cross, okay. What does the cross represent? Shout the answers. New beginning, okay? Redemption. What does redeem mean? To buy? Buy back. Okay. What else? A whole bunch of things. Salvation. Hope. Say that again. Restoration. What does restoration mean? Say that again. Back to what it was before. And so very often we thought to ourselves, we're in this journey in history. We come to the cross and we're moving this way. But we know what redemption is, to buy back. And we know what restoration is, to restore. But we're moving away and further away. And the Holy Spirit said to me, Darren, how's about the point of the cross was not the middle of time as we know it? How's about the point of the cross? It's not doing it. Was the point at where everything turned around and begins to go back to what God initially intended in the first place. What did he intend in the first place? What was it like in the Garden of Eden? Everything from intimacy, relationship, transparency. There was just no sin. Sorry? Abundant life. How's about that this point of the cross? And as I began to consider that, the Holy Spirit showed me four things. There are four seasons that we're going to go through. One is the season of turmoil. Now, I want you to see, as it says, they're no longer time-related. Where we are today, the 4,000 years that it took to get to the point of the cross, it's up to you and I believe, as to how long it's going to take for Jesus to come back and fix this whole thing. This is the new covenant. This is no longer the other old covenant. The old covenant was time-constrained. The new covenant is not. It's heart-constrained. And it happens in your heart. And God he's not putting things in a time scale. As much as he's saying, how much do you want of who I am? So it's no longer time related, but we're going to go through a season of turmoil. And as I put this together a number of months ago, I mean, we're now in a season where you look in the news, you look around the world, there is turmoil in one form or another. It is absolutely amazing. We've never had this turmoil before. The other thing is, it's a season of leadership. What does that leadership look like? I'm going to tell you right now, I have an idea of what that leadership looks like, but it looks different to what the leadership we have today. And all I'm going to say is that it's a season of leadership where God has taken us back through history, through the season of David, And that's where I sense the Holy Spirit told me this is. It's a season of David, that season of leadership. Whatever that looks like, it's not time to go into that. The other thing is a season of intimacy. This leadership that we have, this leadership the Holy Spirit has taken us into, cannot be done without intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And it cannot be done without intimacy with fellow man on a whole different level to what we've had it already. And as we go through that season of intimacy on all different levels and all different relationships, we're going to get to the fullness of restoration. What is it that you want restored in your life? What are the things we want restored in our lives? One of the things that he's restoring is honor. Thank you. You may just stick it down there. Thanks. And it's a difficult subject because what is honor? And all I can speak out of this morning, all I can share out of is where God has taken me and the things that he's birthed inside of me, that you too can go and enter a place where God is beginning to revolutionize Christianity. God is beginning to take it to a whole new level, a whole new place. Because we need to be different to the world, and we are going to be different to the world, but it's not by works, it's by the Spirit of God. And one of the things is honor. What is honor? The definition, dictionary definitions of honor. A source of credit or distinction, to be an honor to one's family. High respect, as for worth, merit, or rank, to be held in honor. Such respect manifested, a memorial in honor of the dead. High public esteem, fame, glory, he has earned his position of honor. Usually honors evidence as a special ceremony. However that came out. Decoration, scroll, or title of high rank, dignity, or distinction. Political honors, military honors. A differential title of respect, especially for judges and mayors. If we look at those definitions, those are the definitions of honor that we're really used to in humanity. We know what honor is. We know the people we should honor. We've been told to honor our mums and dads all the time, and sometimes we don't feel like it, but we know what honor is, and we've elevated people to a certain position because of our definition of the word honor. And so that's what we understand. Is that somebody you would honor? Throw things out there. There's no right or wrong. Who is that? Some of you may not know. Honor her position? Okay, would you honor her? She was an amazing woman, wasn't she? She really was. Okay, who else? What about this couple? Now, I didn't want to embarrass Carol. I didn't even know she was going to be here this morning. But we would absolutely honor. What are some of the things we would do to show honor? Sorry? Pray for them? Thinking about them? Love them? Practical things we would stand. What do we do when somebody like this walks into the room? Honor? And we would stand, we would, who knows what we would do, but we would honor. There's a place of honor. What about this gentleman? Do you know who that is? Robert Mugabe, the Honorable, the President of Zimbabwe, a tyrant, a dictator, a murderer. Things changed a little bit there. That's good. How many people immediately thought of that? Okay? So these are the things, this is the honor that has come out. This is the honor we understand. When we got to President Mugabe, it was a little bit different, a little bit restrained. But this is the honor that we've come to understand. And this is where we are in society. But God is beginning to change things. God is beginning to set things in order. What about this lady? Who is she? She's nobody. But as we've been through these pictures, you felt something different in your heart for each picture. Yes? No? I know, because I went through the same thing. And there's nothing new under the sun. What about these kids? Okay, let's look at honor biblically. In the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, there's a whole bunch of different words that talk about honor. Okay. We're not going to go through them all. There are more, and I'm not even going to pronounce the Hebrew word because I'm not good at that, but I do have Google, and I do have a good Strong's concordance. But these words in Hebrew, now, our one word honor in the Bible that we read is separated into at least six, and there are some more, six different words in Hebrew. So they've got different words talking about different things and different emphasis, different meanings, carrying different weight, but we just limit it to one word, and that is honor. So think, as we read the Bible, we have this word honor that comes up. We've just realized what it means to us in our English culture, in our culture. But this is what the Bible says. It's glory, it's honor, it's riches and abundance. To be heavy, to be weighty, to be rich, be grievous. To adorn, to glorify, to be high, and that's not in any other way. That's to swell, in order to, you know, to rise up, to get bigger. Splendor, majesty, vigor, beauty, splendor, glory, boasting. Preciousness, price, value, and pomp. And there are more words that the Hebrews use for the word honor. In the Greek, we have a slightly different direction. Two Greek words. To estimate and fix the value. For the value of something belonging to oneself. If it belongs to me, I will give it a certain value. To honor, to have in honor, to revere, to venerate. The second word is to value by giving a price. By which a price is fixed of the price itself, of the price paid or received for the person or thing bought or sold. Honor is synonymous with value. Jesus says this, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. What is he saying? He's saying they say the right words, but they don't really value me. They don't hold any of me in their value system. They do the right thing. They come. They go to church. They sing the right songs. They say the right words. They'll even prophesy, but they don't hold me of any value. They love the gifts. They love the things. Their lips do all the right stuff, but they don't really value me. And I've been going through this process and saying, God, how much do I value you? I don't understand you, but how much do I value you? And I don't have all the answers for honor. But I do believe that we're moving into a time in history where honor is going to break out. And I see that because there's a whole culture of honor now being developed. God's doing a whole bunch of that stuff. But he's doing it in the hearts of individuals. He's doing it in the hearts of you and I. And we want our lives to be changed. We want to be more and more like him every day. We want to walk a road where tomorrow morning I'll be different than I am today. But how does that work in the place of honor? What do I have to do? Do I have to stand up when somebody walks in the room? There is a place for that, where in the Old Testament, the Israelites are instructed to give place, to honor the old man, the gray-headed man, when he walks into the room, to rise up and to honor him. There's a place for honoring people in that way. There's a place for standing up and doing it. But when we do it, are we doing it as lip service with our hearts far from it, or our hearts in the place of honor? Say, I value you for who you are. I look at you and I see you walk into the room. I can see that God is in you. And it's a hard journey. It's a hard message. Anyway. So honor is synonymous with value. When we love the value of people, we fulfill the mandate of honor. Think about that. When we love the value of people, we fulfill the mandate of honor. God so loved the world that he gave us his only son. He so loved us that when he looked down, that love fulfilled the mandate of honor. He valued us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us. He honored us. He valued us before we ever honored and valued him. And when we look at people, without people, Christianity is nothing. The world is nothing without people. So Christianity is all about people. How much value do you put on her? What was the honor? Now, I'm sorry if I'm pushing buttons this morning. But how much value do we put on her? We know that when she died and it was tragic and it was sad, she was an amazing woman, that people had so much value on her. That their lives were changed because she died. How much value do we put on them? And I know John and Carol, I know they don't want to be elevated to a level of, I know John says, don't give me a title. I'm cool with John. I used to call him Pastor John for the longest time after coming here. And every time he would say, just call me John. But how much value do we put on these people? What is their value to us? Yes, we want to honor them. They're amazing. Not because of what they've done, just because of who they are. How much do you value him? Do you? We can honor him for his position, but what about him as a person? I mean, yeah, we have to honor him as a person. God tells us to honor our government leaders. We have to honor him. But is it just from the words or is it just from the actions? Or do we actually value the man? He's murdered thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. He's a tyrant. And I was speaking to somebody about him one day and they said, we wish he would die. My heart broke because God's taken me on a journey of valuing the man inside. And I said, I pray for him every day. I bless him to know Jesus. I bless him. Doesn't matter what he's done, he can't be worse than Paul. Sinner of all sinners, he can't be worse than me. I've disrespected God. I've dishonored God. I've sinned. He's done some terrible things, some horrific things, but God still values him. I want to honor him. I don't agree with everything, but I want to honor who he is. I don't know her, never met her. But when we look into her eyes, we can honor, we can value who she is, what she is. Matthew 28. Jesus talking to his disciples, it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory with all the angels with him, when he sits on the throne, and he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one from another, as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on his left hand. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him and say, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? Or when did we see you as a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it for one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it for me. How much do we honor Jesus as our king? How much do I value this intimate, loving king who gave his life for me? This God, this king who at the point of the cross was willing to take my sin and my shame upon him and turn everything around that I could be restored in fullness to the intention of the living God, the God of all creation. How much do I value this man? Do I value him just with the songs that I sing? Do I value him with the words that I speak, with the right things that I've trained my mind to speak out of my mouth, but my heart is still far from him? And I'm not, please hear me this morning. I've been a Christian for, I don't know, 34 years now, 35 years. And I'm still desperate for the more. I'm not saying that you're in a bad place, but I'm saying there's more. I'm not saying anything about the place that you're at, but the place we want to be. How much do I honor this man? What is the value that I've placed on his life? And if I've placed it on his life, he will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting life. Everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. I was naked, you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not feed me and visit me. And then they too will answer him and say, Lord, when did you see me hungry and thirsty, or a stranger naked, or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? How much do we value this Jesus? Intimacy, the season of intimacy that we're going through, the season of leadership and intimacy, is going to change you. How much do we value Jesus and the Holy Spirit, his presence? And please, I'm pointing at myself as well. I'm walking this road. I'm walking this journey. I'm like, God, I'm desperate. I know how much you've done for me. I know what your word says. I can preach it. I can analyze it. I can tell people, get people excited, but only you can make the change deep inside of me. And Mercy Mandate has begun to do that through me and Mercy Mandate. And as I've begun to walk this expression of loving the poor, loving the broken, and saying, God, I see the value of you in them. And when I look at them, it doesn't have to be a president, doesn't have to be a prime minister, doesn't have to be a leader as we know it today, somebody who's done great things, who's been elevated to a rank, who's been elevated to sit on a throne. I don't have to show them more honor than I do somebody in this man's position. See, God is no respecter of persons, and he wants to be honored. And to honor him means we must honor, we must value the least of these. And then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it for the least of these, you did not do it to me. There's fruit to this journey of honor. I've told you this story before, but this is what I live for. This is what I love. And that's why I don't know where this is going, and I don't know where my life is headed, other than that I've never been in a better place with God. I've never been so intimate with the Holy Spirit. The problem with that place is that everything else looks out of place. And I'm speaking prophetically today. I'm telling you that there is a change coming. It's a change of restoration, and the ways of our God are going to be set back in place, and the ways of the world is going to be, there's going to be a division. Jesus said, I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats. The ways of the kingdom of God are going to be on the right-hand side for eternal life. The ways of the kingdoms of this earth will be sent to hell. There is no fence to ride on. And so this little girl was lame, and I arrived in Zimbabwe. It's a quick story. Won't tell you the whole story. Arrive in one of my trips to Zimbabwe, and there she is, and she's walking around, pulling herself around. She's crippled. She's lame. And she's dragging herself around on her arms, her elbows on her arms, and my heart broke for her like it does. And I just looked down, and in that place of honor, I looked into her eyes and said, Jesus, this is you. I want to love this person. I want to honor this child. And she's dirty. This is what she was dressed in. That's all she has. She's a product of rape. Her mother was simple, an outcast from a village. I said, God, I desperately want for this child to walk. I'm on this learning curve. I'm on this learning journey. And as I went through that, the Holy Spirit said to me, I could sense him saying to me, we'll just pray for her. Lay hands on her and declare that she walks. And inside of me, I'm going through... But what happens if it doesn't work because I've never seen this before? What happens if I'm going to look like a fool? I'm this pastor from North America. I've come out and these people know me and I've built a relationship. And if I pray for this child, they're all going to look at me and say, well, he's got no power. You know that conflict? Don't look at me like I'm the only one. We know this conflict. But in this place, I said, God, I want to honor this child. And I'm desperate. And the Holy Spirit met me where I'm at because he knows where I'm at. And he's cool with it. We're on this journey together, okay? I'm not going to arrive in one day. We'll arrive there one day. But on the place, on the way, it's a journey of constant improvement and increase. And the Holy Spirit said to me, Darren, tell the chief by the time you come back next to Zimbabwe, this child will be walking. And that was easy for me. It's like deep down in my spirit. I knew this child could walk. I knew God was going to do it. And so I turned to the chief and I said, Chief, by the time I come back again, this child will be walking. And so I went away. The next time I went back was 2-3 months later, and I completely forgot about the child. And then I went back in the September, so it was about 6 months afterwards. The Holy Spirit reminded me. I was standing talking to the chief, and the Holy Spirit reminded me of this little girl. And immediately, as the Holy Spirit reminded me, the confrontation from the natural man who doesn't understand the things of the Spirit because they are foolishness to him, you know that argument that we have. The natural man said, if you shut your mouth and ignore it, you'll never know if you were wrong. So I didn't. The spirit man overruled the natural man. And I said, Chief, what about that little girl? And the moment I said that, he put a smile on his face and he sent his wife to go and get the little girl. And she came back running. She ran up to me and gave me a hug. I walked that journey because I honored her. I valued her. Not above anybody else, not beneath anybody else. I didn't put her above anybody else, and I didn't put anyone else above her. This was her. This was Jesus, and I looked at God in her. The story of honor. As much as we do for the least of these, this is Winfrieda. Long story about Winfrieda, I'm not going to tell you that story. But the reality is, this is my first moment, this is the foundation of the ministry that I do in Africa and Zimbabwe, where I met this lady. Her husband had worked for us 25 years before, and I met this lady, and one of the things God had said to me is, Darren, I want you to honor her. I want you to honor her. She is the least. She's a representation of the least in Zimbabwe. She's a widow. And so as I met with her and as we just rebuilt that relationship, The Holy Spirit said to me, Darren, in this place of honor, I want you to wash your feet. And I got down in the dirt, and I got down in the mess of the place where the village was. And I asked for some water, and I asked for a cup, and I got down, and I washed her feet, and I wept. I said, God, is this what it means to honor? Is this what it means to value? Now, I'm telling you stories. I'm going to tell you two more stories, and then we're just going to allow Holy Spirit to... to speak to us. Bottom line is, I can tell the stories. He's got to do the work. Andre, Braden and I were in South Africa, and I had gone to buy a Land Rover. Because part of my journey of having the water factories taken away from me, I lost the vehicle as well. The nice story, you know that story where God's doing amazing things and he gave us this vehicle, and he did. He took us through some good stories. So when the bad one comes, it's like, this is terrible. I'm not a Christian anymore. Something's gone wrong with my spirituality. And what are people going to say? And anyway, I'm over that. Because now I have a Land Rover. Went to buy this Land Rover and in a little town about an hour and a half west of Johannesburg, and went to the bank to go and draw some money. I didn't want to carry that much money over with me, so I went to the bank there to draw some money, and what a major process it was to draw the money. So I was getting all frustrated, and the Holy Spirit kept on saying, Darren, who's in charge of this thing? Who's in control? Yes, I know, Lord, but my plan isn't working out. And what I've learned through that whole process, not through that process, but through a lot of this, is that we need to honor God and his plans. And when my plan isn't working, it's probably because his plan is working. And there's a conflict of plans there. But my plan wasn't working, and I was just wasting time in South Africa. I wanted to be in Zimbabwe. I bought this vehicle, wanted to draw the money, and I walked out of the bank without some money at this point because the banks in Canada weren't open and they weren't giving an authority number. And so I walked out, and this man, Braden and I walk out, and so this man walks up to us and says, excuse me, sir, can I be honest with you? And I thought to myself, well, I hope you will be honest with me. He says, I've just come out of prison a couple months ago, and I've made these keychains, and I looked at one of the keychains, and they had scripture verses on it. He said, I've found Jesus in prison, and now that I've come out, I don't want to go back into my old ways. So I've made these keychains, they've got scripture verses on them, and I want to sell you one for 20 rand, because this is the way I want to make my money. Now, 20 rand is only about $3. And immediately I'm like, I don't want a keychain. So I said to him, here's 20 rand, but I don't want a keychain. Take that keychain and sell it to someone else. But the first thing that I did is I looked at him, and the Holy Spirit said to me, are you going to honor him? What would you do? Would you analyze his story? Or is he telling the truth? He came to me and said, oh, can I be honest with you? Now, what kind of a story is that? What kind of a, if he's telling, asking me if he can be honest, what's he trying to actually say to me? We do. We analyze people like that. And so I responded, said, no, I'll give you your 20 rand. Take this keychain. I don't want a keychain. But then I turned to him and said, do you really know God? Do you really know Jesus? He said, yeah, absolutely. So I said, do you know the Holy Spirit? He said, yep, I absolutely know the Holy Spirit. So I said, how do you know the Holy Spirit? Can you feel his presence? And he's like, yeah, I can feel his presence. Like, how do you feel his presence? You know the answer we used to give? Now we know. Now we've experienced him. But so I looked at him. I said, do you hear his voice? He says, no, I've never heard God. So I said, do you want to hear his voice? He says, yeah, I'd love to. And I didn't have time. It wasn't a time for going into ministry and all the rest of it. And we're in the middle of this crowded place outside. And so I just, Braden and I laid our hands on him, I said, and I just imparted the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit who's going to do the work in him. Our role and responsibility, yes, we need to be ready in and out of season, but just to impart the Holy Spirit, and he's the one that'll do the work. That's what Jesus said he would do. So if we impart the Holy Spirit, he was willing to receive the Holy Spirit. And I said, and I blessed his spirit, man. And I said, I bless your spirit to receive and to hear from the Spirit of God. And I blessed his dreams. And I know that God has spoken to him. And I know that God has awakened his spirit, man, and is speaking to him today. I know that because I know God does this. And so that was it. And we spent about 5 minutes. We soaked him. And he's like, whoa, this is amazing. I said, it's absolutely amazing. There's so much more of it. Keep going for it. Keep getting it. So we walked. We left. Went back to the bank about an hour and a half later. Came out of the bank. Walked around a little bit. Had to wait for the bank again. So this is about 2 hours later. And we're walking across the parking lot. And there he shouts, Darren. And I'm like, I turn around and there's Andre again. I'm thinking, okay. What does Andre want this time? He says, you know what? Darren, I want to ask you, will you give me 100 Rand? Now, what's your response going to be? Same as mine? Immediately, there's a, what? Give me 100 Rand? And the Holy Spirit said to me, Darren, I'm watching you. How much do you value? How much do you value people? And I stood back in exactly the same places, and this is why I know what Carol's going through, exactly that same place where Carol's in this place of worship. I retreated into the Holy Spirit, and I said, God, okay, I want you to watch. I want to value this man like I value you. I want to see him like you see him. What would you do? And I really felt the Holy Spirit say to me, Darren, do whatever you want. I want to see what you will do. So I turned to Andre after a couple of minutes, and I just soaked in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I said, Andre, I'm not going to give you 100 Rand. I'm going to give you 200 Rand. And I opened my wallet, and I gave him 200 Rand. That's not a lot of money. For them, it is. It's greater value in South Africa. And he stood there in shock. He stood there in awe, and he said, I just need a hug. And I took him in my arms and I gave him a father's hug, a daddy's hug. And he's beaten up. He's got scars. He's got wounds, emotional, physical. He's been in prison. And I just loved him. See, when my plan's not working, God's plan is working. I've learned the value of people. I've learned the value. That doesn't matter what position you hold. It doesn't matter what title you hold. It's not about position or title. It's about the value of who you are, the value of who the lost are. And I gave him a hug, and I just held him and loved him and loved him. And then I let go, and he stepped back, and he had these goosies all over him. And I'm looking at him, I'm laughing, I'm thinking, Holy Spirit, you are so cool. This beats any evangelistic tool that I've ever done, the four spiritual laws, the handing out of the cross, and all these kinds of things. Just way overdoes it. Way overdoes it. One more story. And I love flying. I don't love flying anymore, but I love the events that happen on flying. Flying's now just become a means to, it's like, okay, I had enough of this now. But I love some of the things that happen at flying. And one of the things I did, and this is the last story. This is what it is to value people. This is what it is to honor in that place of honor. And I know the next number of weeks we're going to go through honor, lessons and speaking, and Steve and Mary Audrey are going to teach on honor, and it's great. We need to go there. But this is what God is doing. He's changing our hearts. He's changing us on the inside. He doesn't want the things that we learn to become academic practices. He wants them to become things that change our hearts, that change our lifestyles. And so I went to change a flight with South African Airways, and I'm standing at the counter in the middle of the airport, and there's just tons of people around. And went to change the flight and began to speak to one of the agents doing the transaction. And the Holy Spirit gave me a picture for this person, this next agent on the next counter. I'm like, okay, God, I don't know when you're talking about this now. I have to step outside of my comfort zone. When you start showing me things like this, it's like, oh man, I don't even know this person. God showed me a fishing hook. It's like, okay, now I've got to go over and say to this person, I've got a message from God. Are you okay if I give it to you? And all the rest of it. And I was kind of backing away from it. And the Holy Spirit just kept on nagging me. I did my transaction. And Darren, the absolutely righteous man of God, turned his back and walked away. See, I'm no better than any of you, okay? Just because I have the microphone, it doesn't make any difference. But God's relentless. And so little did I know that the guy next to me in that counter was actually packing up and leaving for the day. And the moment I turned my back and walked away, he jumped out of the counter and walked away next to me. I'm like, okay, God. So I started this conversation with him, just talking to him. And I said to him, okay, can I tell you something that God is telling me? Sure, not a problem. So I gave him this whole prophetic message and this whole prophetic word about the fishing hook and that God's going to use him to draw the nations. God's going to use him to be a fisherman. And God, people are going to be attracted to him. People are going to be caught into the kingdom because of him. And I didn't even know he was a Christian or not. And then he just looks at me in shock and amazement. And he begins to tell me how God has been speaking to him, he is a Christian, about leaving SAA and going to be an evangelist in the village that he's from. And so he looks at me and says, how do you do that? I'm like, listen, I'm not so smart, believe me. I try to run away from it. But Vusi and I started a conversation. We spoke for about an hour in the middle of everybody. I led him through the process of hearing the voice of God, of seeing the Spirit of God and seeing in the Spirit. I led him to that place and he was so excited. And just as he was about to part, he turned and he looked at me and he said, Darren, thank you for being Jesus. I wanted to weep. I said, no, I'm not Jesus. He says, Darren, stop. Thank you for being Jesus. And all Jesus does was love people and honor people and value people. I live for this. I don't know how I'm going to earn a salary, but I live for this. But that's okay because we've still never seen the righteous forsaken. I'm going to go fishing one day and pull out a fish and it's going to be gold in its mouth. We laugh, but God is going to do that. He is going to release those miracles, those signs and wonders for those who are willing to walk into the territory of intimacy with him and restoration of the fullness of the Godhead in us and through us. Let's all stand together. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. There's a number of us who have really felt like the four stages that we're being taken through in restoration, again, they're not restricted to time. And they compounded on each other. And we're going through one while we're going through the other. And God is speeding things up for the return of Jesus. And I haven't given you what it looks like. I don't know entirely what it looks like. But the Holy Spirit himself, who works all things together for his good, for those who were called according to his purpose, what he does in me, he will do in you without even the verbal transaction. What he's doing in you, he will do in your neighbor. What he's doing in your neighbor, he will do in me. Because it's the same God throughout history. He says, I am one God. And as we're intimate, as we experience the Spirit of this one God, what he does in one, he'll do in the other. But we must value our neighbor. The journey of honor is not learned by learning how to act right before leaders. The journey of honor is learned by allowing Holy Spirit to give us eyes to see what He sees, irrespective of the position of the person we're looking at. Holy Spirit, we ask You to cause us to value life, to value that which You have created, Jesus, that which You died for. Holy Spirit, that when it's time for me to stand, I stand in my heart. And when it's time for me to get down on my knees and get down dirty and dusty, I do it in my heart. But there's a number here who have struggled, who have been in this turmoil. It's almost like you fell to the turmoil that is happening in these North African nations. And you've recognized a season of turmoil, yet you've been intimate as well, and you haven't understood. God, how can this be? What is going on? And He says to you this morning, I am changing you so that you can be where I already am. Holy Spirit, all we can do is surrender. Those of you who have struggled and said, God, I don't know what's going on. And you've had these questions, you've been going through it. Let's just be outright honest and real this morning. You know in your mind, you know in your spirit that there's supposed to be a better way, but you haven't understood where you're at. You haven't understood really what's going on. You're not in a bad place, and I bless you this morning to know that you are not in a bad place. I bless your spirit, man. As you walk in intimacy, I bless your spirit, man, to be so confident and bold in the things that the Father has been showing and communicating to your spirit, man. That while the natural man has had a measure of confusion, has had a measure of misunderstanding and cannot compute things, your spirit man has been aligned with the Spirit of God, and there are some things that are starting to happen. You don't understand it. I bless you to be secure in that place. I bless you to know that the kingdom of heaven is being released on earth and is going to reshape the way that we live on earth. I bless your spirit, man, to know that as Jesus came to serve the least of these, that as we journey, as we go on this place, God is going to restore and establish His kingdom through you. And the physical changes, the natural changes that you're going through are only a platform for the spiritual manifestation. I bless that in you in Jesus' name. I bless you that you're a lover of God. I bless you that you've pursued intimacy. I bless you to know that nothing, no weapon formed against you, spirit man, will ever prosper. And I bless the courage that you've had, the courage that you, boldness that you've held on to. And I bless you, spirit man, to rule over the natural man. In the place of intimacy, the spirit man knows the things of a man himself. The natural man does not know the things of the spirit. And I bless you, spirit man. I bless you with revelation. Revelation is just when the Spirit of God speaks and the spirit man hears. That's revelation. And spirit man, I bless you to know that even though you feel your world is being turned upside down, it's actually being turned the right way up. The establishment of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "Our Father who art in heaven, you are so amazing. You're so hallowed. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." And Father, as we walk this journey, we don't understand the fullness of the kingdom of heaven, but we want it. And we're open and we're available for you to change us to be wherever you are. I bless you to know that there is nothing that you've ever done. There's no sin that you've ever committed that'll prevent you from walking into the destiny and the fullness that the Spirit of God has for you. The purposes that God formed you and created you. And I bless you to be bold and courageous even more. And the spiritual eyes that you have, spirit man, I bless you to know that as you see what the Spirit of God is doing, and you set your foot, you begin to tread in that direction, that every place that your foot will tread, the Father has given that to you. And I bless you in this season to come, that as the natural seems to misalign with the supernatural, that the supernatural will begin to reform the natural around your life. Ooh, shoo. Holy Spirit, be released right now. Be released right now. Even deeper, even deeper, even deeper. Oh, shoo. I see bread. I see bread being baked in the houses, in homes. I just see ovens and loads of ovens. There is bread being baked in the ovens. Oh, shoo. Fresh bread. Oh-wee. Fresh bread being baked in your ovens at home. In your ovens at home. Holy Spirit. I bless your times and your moments of worship. I bless you. Carol, I just want to give away that heart, that desire that you have. Can you do that? Can we? That place of intimacy. That place of intimacy. It's not reserved, hey, for any one of us. The Father is seeking such to worship Him. He's seeking those who are saying, God, I'm not satisfied with Sundays. I'm not satisfied with Fridays and Sundays or any evening of the week. I'm not satisfied with, hey, my morning's devotions. I'm satisfied in the fullness of every moment with You. Hoshua. 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 Just keep coming, Holy Spirit.
Father, I just thank You that You're calling all of us, Lord. You're calling us, Lord. There's a deep hunger. And Lord, that's not our hunger. That is You putting that in us. And Lord, I bless that in each and every one, that breathing that God is calling us, that we're not satisfied in the place that we are at, that You're saying, come unto Me, come unto Me, come, come, come. Wow, You're wanting the bride to be ready, Lord. Wow. And so Lord, I bless each and every one with more of that hunger to spend time in Your presence, Lord. The ones that didn't know how to do it, Lord, may this 10-minute worship, loving You, intimate time with You, every 10 minutes, draw us all, Lord, into Your heart and into Your presence, Lord. We want to be a bride, Lord, that's ready. We want to get everything ready for Your coming, Lord. We want to be ready for the lost, as Darren is saying. We want to have that heart. Wow. Your heart, Lord, for the people around us. Lord, some of us can't go to the mission field, but Lord, the mission field is right here. Lord, we just have to open our eyes and see what You see. And Lord, I just bless each and every one of our eyes, Lord. I need my eyes blessed again, and to see what You see, to have the heart that You have. And the love, Lord, for everyone around us, that we will honor them, that we will love them like You love them. And so, Lord, I just ask You to breathe. Breathe on that, that desire for more of You, that intimate desire for more. Let it come, Lord. Let it come. I want more. Lord, I'm not satisfied. And I thank You that You've shown me a way that in busyness and on airplanes and on ministry times, I can worship You. I can be in Your presence, Lord. And I thank You for that.
Just keep coming, Holy Spirit. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Thank You for what You're doing. Jesus, we thank You this morning for the power of the cross. But Jesus, it wasn't just a good idea to come down and save us from our sins, but You wanted to restore everything that Your Father had determined for us to be. And Jesus, thank you for the power that your cross, your shed blood and your broken body. I thank you this morning for the power of that. And Father, I thank you this morning that you loved me so much in my condition, and you looked down and you valued me so much that you were willing to give up Jesus. You were willing to give up your only son who had never done anything wrong. And God, all I can do is value you back and say, you're so amazing. You are so amazing. I cannot understand it. I thank you for what you've done for me. I thank you that you valued me and you loved me so much. Now, Holy Spirit, this morning we thank you that this is not by our works. We cannot learn enough memory verses to fix ourselves. But this is by your Spirit. This is by you, Holy Spirit. And we thank you this morning that you never, ever leave us. Oh, shoot. And when we walk out of this building, that nothing changes, just the location. Nothing else changes. We thank you that you have blessed our week already. We thank you that you have blessed everything that we purpose to put our hands to this week. We thank you for the fruit of intimacy. Let's keep coming, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for what you're doing in the earth today. And here we are, just vessels. We're usable. Send us. And just as Carol said, I want to bless you this morning. Not everybody has to travel overseas. No, we have a neighbor right next door. Doesn't matter what car they drive, how rich, how poor, the value is still the same. And so I bless you as you go this week. I bless you as the Holy Spirit just releases you into new things that he's doing. And for those of you who are coming to the intercession for Israel, it starts at 2 o'clock. I believe it's upstairs. Be amazingly blessed. Have an amazing week. In Jesus' name, amen.